Okay. Good afternoon. It is just after 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, April 11th, 2012. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're in the North Dakota PSC hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol. We have scheduled for this afternoon an informal hearing. We have it, well, there are three items, but two of them are related. The we'll open BK 1 and 2, case numbers PU-11-672 and PU-11-681, both related to MDU and transmission facility cost recovery. For anyone who may be listening in, as well as the record that we're developing, we'll have everyone identify themselves. This is Tony Clark.
Kevin Kramer.
And Brian Kolk.
And joining us from commission staff.
Mark Grumman.
And Chris Merle, advocacy staff.
And from MDU.
Dan Kuntz, Montana Dakota.
Rita Mulkern, Montana Dakota.
Tammy Eberle, Montana Dakota.
Darcy Nigam, Montana Dakota.
Okay. And we have a few other people that are in the room as well. Why don't we do this? It's MDU's case, so we'll turn it over to you and let you kick it off.
And I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Eberle and ask her to address, explain the company's application and our request.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Montana Dakota submitted an application to implement a transmission adjustment on October 21st, 2011, in accordance with the statutes 4905.04.3, which provides the Commission the authority to approve, reject, or modify a tariff, which provides for an adjustment of rates to recover transmission-related expenses. And Montana Dakota, along with that application, requested a waiver of the $50,000 filing fee required by that statute and requested a determination of a more reasonable or appropriate fee, we thought, for this filing. The company submitted a filing fee of $10,000 on November 28th based on the commission's determination. Subsequent to that filing, Montana Dakota submitted revisions on February 27, 2012 to reflect a more accurate estimate of the MISO transmission-related charges that were being assessed to Montana Dakota, and those differed quite significantly from what we had estimated in the October application. Now, lends itself to why a tracker is appropriate, we believe. In generically, Montana Dakota, with this transmission adjustment mechanism, proposes to recover the following types of expenses that have not previously been part of retail rates through the transmission adjustment. And those, and again, in accordance with the statute, would be newer modified transmission facilities, which would include transmission lines, substations, transformers, and other related equipment constructed to improve the power delivery capability or reliability of the transmission system, or federally regulated costs charged to or incurred by the company to increase regional transmission capacity or reliability. Montana Dakota, as part of this mechanism, is proposing to submit the expenditures or investments for commission approval by December of each year for recovery through the transmission adjustment mechanism, which would be subject to change January 1 of each year. In addition to recovery of projected expenses or investments, the annual adjustment will include a true-up of the over or under recovery expenditures during the prior year. The transmission adjustment is proposed to be recovered on a kilowatt hour basis from each rate schedule and shown as a separate line item on the bill. So that really covers the generic portion of our request, which would be the enabling of a transmission rider through the proposed rate schedule. So the second part then of the request is what we're proposing to include in the transmission adjustment for the ensuing year. And now that we're well into 2012, we're proposing that to be effective May 1. So for Montana Dakota, the expenses that we are proposing to pass through this rider include Montana, Dakota's, North Dakota's share of baseline reliability projects that are being charged to us through MISO's Schedule 26, and that equates to approximately $376,500 allocated to North Dakota. Also, our North Dakota allocated share of multi-value projects that are being assessed through Schedule 26A today. And finally, Montana, Dakota is receiving a revenue credit for a project that was deemed a baseline reliability project through MISO, and that is the recently constructed substation over near the Heskett station. And that was deemed baseline reliability project, and so we're receiving some revenues from that project also through Schedule 26. So we're proposing to flow that credit through then the transmission adjustment mechanism as well. The substation itself, the investment in that was part of the last rate case, and so is being recovered in retail rates today. So the allocation of these total net expenditures equate to approximately $373,000, and we're proposing that to recover that from our customers through this adjustment mechanism, which would equate to 0.035 cents for a residential customer, which would equate to an increase of about 26 per cents per month for the period May 1 through December 31. Montana Dakota expects to be requesting approval to recover similar type expenditures in future adjustment mechanisms. One of those additional type expenditures would be the WAPA transmission charges that we've discussed in another docket. The fact that that contract expires in 2015, so that's another example of expenditures that we would propose to recover through the adjustment mechanism. We do not see large baseline reliability projects being built on our system in the near future, so we don't at this time expect to have significant capital expenditures that we would include through the mechanism. But again, it would provide for it, and if we did propose to do that, we would be back before you and requesting approval of those on a case-by-case basis. And that would be similar to the MVP project, the Ellendale to Big Stone project that we've indicated to you, we are planning to participate in that project along with Otter Tail. So that project as well is out a couple years. We would be back before you to discuss the appropriate recovery of the MVP project and how that would relate to the transmission adjustment. So what we're asking for today is approval of the mechanism and the adjustments that we have provided on the schedule, on the proposed rate schedule, to start billing that to customers effective May 1.
This may be in here, and I just skipped over it, but is this proposed to be a separate line item on customer bills, or is it just going to be rolled into the FCA?
It's proposed to be a separate line item.
So does this require some bill reformatting? I mean, what?
Well, we are able to include this as a line item on the bill. Mm-hmm. We are still working hard on our reformat, and I hope to have a draft of that the direction we're taking with that new bill format. But we are able to, it would look much like the FCA does today. So we don't have the capability to put a lot of words around it, but we can put a separate line item, put a acronym in front of it, and then we would include bill inserts to explain what that adjustment is in the bill.
Just from a consumer relations standpoint, as these additional line items start adding up on people's bills, the FCA, the potentially environmental cost trackers, do we run the risk of having people's gas and electric bills in a combined statement start looking like their phone bills that we get lots of complaints about, where you've got just an endless list of charges on there. None of them seem to make much sense to consumers, but they all just kind of sort of ding and irritate them. Has there been any consideration to whether this is the right method to go, or should there be a more general sort of cost tracker that incorporates a number of these things?
Commissioner, we do talk about that and what's the tipping point in terms of line items on a bill. And I guess at this point, we have the fuel cost adjustment. We had an MSA, the margin sharing adjustment has been removed as a separate line. And maybe that is a discussion as we do move forward with additional lines. And when we get to the new bill format, so if in the future when we may potentially see an environmental rider as well, I mean, that we could really assess that at this point in time. I mean, we could call this something more generic and set it up to include, you know, future adjustments. That is a potential as well.
Yeah. I guess I just keep an eye on it. I mean, a proliferation of line items on bills are not something I would encourage, generally speaking. And there's lots of things you could break out in the course of a rate case where you could separate bills into all sorts of components. But at the end of the day, there's a line between transparency and just customer confusion, and I would worry about that as they start to add up. Any questions? Staff thoughts?
I did one question.
Sure.
How often does Schedule 26 get adjusted or tweaked? Is that annually, or is it when? What month does that usually happen?
My understanding, that's annually.
Yeah. It's an annual process, and it kind of depends upon the timing everyone changes their revenue requirement or attachment O. And I think the majority of the transmission owners are set up for a January 1 effective date that they take place.
That ties into what you're thinking about doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remind me right now how these types of costs would be recovered, absent this sort of approval of a tracker.
They would just be cost of service items. Just expenditures coming to us. They've just recently, with the primarily the CapEx projects,
mm-hmm.
have really just starting to increase in nature. So really, they're not specifically estimated and called out in the rate case because at that point in time they were not present. So.
Okay.
Been very minor in nature.
Does staff have a formal recommendation on this one? I didn't see it.
They do, actually.
Do they? Okay.
I think it's somewhat different, too, isn't it?
No, we support MDU's application.
Okay, then I need to get some clarification then, because in your memo you talk about...
I don't have it attached.
This is similar to the all-in method?
I tried to bring up the Otter Tail case, but really it is fairly different.
Okay, that was the part that your memo threw me off a little bit. Though.
Okay, yeah.
Because this would be more of a split method, if you will, is what I heard you talk about.
Splitting
the cost?
No. That's probably, at this point in time, it's more of a Schedule 26 only method.
Okay. All right, so then maybe you might want to, if that's the case, maybe tweak your recommendation because that throws it off a little bit.
Sure.
That's way back to the Schedule 26, and that becomes a driver for all this, then, doesn't it? Yeah.
At this point in time, yes, that is.
Easy.
And address the WAPA issue as we get closer to the expiration.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, what's your biggest concern on this cost allocation going forward? I mean, it's a big issue we've talked about. I mean, do you feel comfortable this is going to get you where you need to be, or is there something that should be changed in Schedule 26 or changed in something else that we're doing?
Well, I know Darcy spent a lot of time on a lot of discussions, and, you know, we believe that some of the most, that the generator interconnection issue has been addressed, and And I think Darcy would, and he can add to that, that this is probably the least cost and the most, in terms of other proposals that have been out there for, you know, baseline reliability. And as with the Heskett station, we're able to cost share on some of, you know, because there was a demonstration that that provided some reliability increases to others within this area. So I think that.
Okay. No, thanks.
Okay. Anything else from MDU or for MDU? Anything else from staff? Okay. With that, we'll close the hearing in the informal hearing in case numbers PU 11-672 and PU 11-681. The third and final item on our informal hearing agenda this afternoon is IBK 3, case number PU-12-135, Lexstar Construction Master Meter Waiver. We have a recommendation and discussion from Jerry in front of us. Jerry's not here right now, but we have his memo, and we also have the application in front of us. I guess I'd ask staff. I handed this around earlier. There was some information that was in our inbox, I think everybody's inbox, that just came in on the 5th, and this must be just more information. But it's the same docket. It was docketed under the same case. So this is just additional information that was received after the memo was written. Is that right?
I believe it's information that was provided to Jerry when he was writing the memo, and then they followed it up with something for the record.
Okay, very good. With that, the applications in front of us, I heard someone call in on the phone that I assume is from the applicant. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Could you identify yourself? Why don't we do this? Because we've started a new case and have closed the old one. Let's have everybody that's here in Bismarck identify themselves, and then have anyone who's on the phone do so as well. This is Tony Clark.
Good afternoon, Kevin Kramer.
Good afternoon, Brian Kalk.
From our staff.
Mike Diller sitting in for Jerry Lean.
And Mark Grumman, commission staff.
Dan Kuntz, Montana, Dakota.
Rita Mulkern, Montana, Dakota.
Tammy Eberly, Montana, Dakota.
Okay. And then on the phone?
As Richard Snyder from Lexstar Construction.
Okay. All right. Richard, on something like this, typically what we do is we give you as the applicant an opportunity to just describe the project, and then we may have some questions for you, and we'll then open it for discussion amongst the commission. MDU is here as well, which is the service provider, and we may, if they wish to provide any information, they certainly may as well, and we may ask some questions. But at this point, I would turn it over to you, Richard.
Okay. As the petition states, we are seeking to go with a single master meter in lieu of multiple meters, as described in Section 69-09-02-37 of the North Dakota Century Code. And the building that we are beginning construction on is an approximately 30,000-square-foot office building. It's the first of four that'll be constructed in that office park in Bismarck. And basically, we'd like to master meter this building and the ensuing buildings based upon economics to the tenants, aesthetics to the building itself, flexibility of design for initial tenants as well as subsequent tenants through the years. So we believe it's primarily it's going to be very beneficial economically to the tenants to go with a master meter versus multiple meters.
I had a question as I looked through the supplemental information that was filed on April 5th. And I'm not sure if I was understanding it quite or not. It sounds like while there'll be a master meter, were there going to be some sub-meters or?
There's sub-panels in each, probably in each space.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest problems with going with multiple meters is the heating, ventilating, and air conditioning system we are going with is a Daikin VRV, which is an extremely green way of providing heat and cooling to a building. It shares the heating and disperses it throughout the building. It picks up heat off of lights and computers and pushes it over where it's needed in the wintertime. So by going with a shared heating system, you know, it's almost impossible to run separate meters under that circumstance.
Okay, so as when you build tenants, how are they built? There's
a formula based upon square footage of space that they occupy. And that comes under the CAM charges, the common area maintenance charges.
But there's nothing included in that charge that's related to actual energy used in each tenant facility?
If there was a case where we suspected one tenant of being what would be considered an energy hog,
mm-hmm.
In a case where there might be several
big computer
stations that would not be the norm,
uh-huh.
or based upon a square footage formula, then those people would have to be separately metered because otherwise it wouldn't be fair to the rest of the tenants.
And if they would be separately metered through MDU, is that correctly?
Yes, because MDU would be the provider.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. I was just trying to make sure that we weren't getting into a situation where the property development company is beginning to look more like a utility, and I think I was just thrown a little bit for a loop as I read through the supplemental information where it sounded like there might be some, I guess it's sub-paneling, but some sort of subdivision amongst tenants, and then there was some language about if some were higher users than other users, and I was just wanting to make sure that we weren't.
No. The managing company definitely knows who's a provider of electricity and who isn't, and you know, we'll leave that to those that know electrical distribution better than we do. Okay.
Okay. Other questions? Okay.
Will you be heating with electricity then? Is that am I to understand?
Yes, we will. There will be a small temporary natural gas unit heater needed in cases of where the temperature drops to. This is a heat pump system, and there has to be a certain amount of heat in the air in order for it to work. So we will have an auxiliary backup unit heater fired by natural gas. But primarily, the building will be heated by electricity alone.
Okay. Anything from staff? We'll ask MDU if they have anything after that.
No, nothing from staff.
Okay. MDU?
We have nothing.
No comments? Okay.
The only thing I was thinking kind of as an afterthought is the formula used to bill people, is that of any value to know what that is? Just so if you ever had a case down the road where they changed their formula, like you said, they were making money on the what they were actually buying. That's something. Well,
I'm sorry, I didn't quite pick it up. But
yeah, I'm sorry, a little louder, I guess. Is the formula that you've developed for how you're going to build a tent and tenants, I was just asking my colleagues if that's something that we'd be interested in, just kind of talking it through a little bit to where if you'd ever get to a case where, you know, if what you think you're going, you're, you know, how do you, I guess, up update, if MDU charges go up and down, how do you adjust those to your customers? I guess is a better question.
There's a year-end adjustment done,
okay,
based upon actual versus, you know, it's estimated that the CAMs are going to run $4 a year. And so $4 per square foot per year, excuse me.
Okay, so the year-end adjustment then is what you'll do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that answers my question.
Adjustment period. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure did. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Any further questions? Any further questions? All right. Hearing none. Richard, I guess we've got all the information we need from you. It's in Commissioner Culk's portfolio.
Special meeting at 2:30?
Our next regular scheduled meeting is 2 weeks from today. Is that, I don't recall if you had a specific date that you were looking to begin construction, but...
Well, we'd like to do it as early in May as possible.
Okay.
I would suspect it'll be on our April 25th agenda. And I'll
there you go. Good chance it'll pass.
There's a good chance it'll pass.
Okay.
All right. With that.
Call in for that one as well? Or
you won't need to unless you want. You can listen in online if you want to hear the vote.
Yeah, we all our commission meetings are broadcast on the Internet, so... Feel free to log on to the commission homepage and just connect to the commission from there, and it'll be on the next agenda.
Okay.
It's a slow news day. A reporter might call you. But it'd have to be pretty slow.
Nah, they'll be on the golf course.
All right. With that, we'll close the hearing in case number PU-12-135, and that ends the items that are on our informal this afternoon. Thank you.
So, Mike, do you want to...